This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
Welcome to the Antler Up Podcast, brought to you by Tethered, the world's best saddle hunting gear, and we got a great show for you all today. You're listening to the Antler Up Podcast, where we dive into archery, hunting, and the mindset needed to elevate your game. Join us as we explore the latest strategies and gear to help you become the best hunter you can be, both in and out of the woods. Tethered is a team of saddle hunting fanatics with a passionate addiction to whitetail hunting. Designing and engineering products to be a more efficient and confident hunter, Tethered produces the most mobile, stealthy, and safest elevated hunting gear on the planet. Built by saddle hunters for the saddle hunter. Head over to tetherednation.com to see for yourself what exactly I'm talking about. At Antler Up, we know that quality gear can make or break your hunt, and that's why we're excited to partner with Huntworth Gear. If you're looking for premium gear without the premium price tag, Huntworth has you covered. And new for 2024, the Vertec pattern is a dynamic woodland camo pattern blending perfectly into any environment, whether you're stalking in the early season or hunkering down in the late season. From lightweight options for those warm September days to insulated gear that will keep you warm during the harshest winter conditions, Huntworth has you covered for everything you need all year long. Gear up right now and head over to huntworthgear.com to check out their full lineup. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this week's episode of the Antler Up Podcast. And I'm doing a solo one this week. And today, there's a couple things I want to cover on this week's episode, because I had a little bit of some updates in that is I had a recent camp visit and I deployed a bunch of trail cameras, had six put out. Two of them are, we'll talk about them. We'll just go that route. So the main purpose of this visit was basically going off of what we did last year. And I'm talking actual hunting the property of camp and the postseason scouting, the in-season scouting that we did obviously as well, because when we got this property, we never stepped foot on it because no one ever hunted it before. So we had no idea what to expect. It's a lot of land. It's a lot of timber, a lot of good terrain, and there's some good hunting clubs like around the area. So we figured, you know, hey, this could be potentially a decent little spot. So anyway, so what we wanted to do right now was just to get more eyes on basically the property, just kind of verifying what we saw last year with what the sign we saw during the season, postseason,
and getting, you know, intel, just a little bit more intel and doing our homework, basically. And with all of us, we have to drive to camp. We all have obligations. So we didn't have a ton of time postseason to get up there. So we really all did a really good job, I think. Obviously, I think we could do even a better job come next year after this season, but to do a little bit more postseason scouting. So that's going to do a lot of that. So that was the main purpose of this visit. I went solo. I had a quick little window that my wife and I with the kids and everything like that, where I was just went in super late the other night and woke up, got it done, and was home less than 24 hours. Now that was the kind of the game plan. But as far as camera deployment goes, I want to just share like my goals with that, like the locations, what I'm specifically hoping to get and target and timeline, all that stuff. And then like maybe future planning. So that's what we're going to discuss in this little segment. As far as like the camera deployment goes, like location wise, I wanted to cover a couple different ridges. There's a whole more side of the mountain, basically, that I still would like to get some more cameras on. And like when I'm saying this, as far as cameras, I'm speaking for all of my best friends. So this is talking Josh, Tim, and Jim, who we share this camp with. So even though I went and did this for us, this is just still for all of us. We kind of have little areas, but everybody's all inclined to hunt wherever. So the one aspect of the first camera I wanted to get into was an area that I hunted quite a bit last year during archery season and a little bit too during gun season. And it was good the first day of gun season. And then the second day, I think the way the deer and the pressure went, they definitely go to the other side of the mountain 100%. But archery season, there was a lot of good sign. Now we don't know, maybe that entailed because of what was the food, off our property. And we had a lot of doe movement, a couple of young bucks, stuff like that. There was a mid October timeframe when I went up there. It was a little bit cooler in the morning and had a buck come up above me, which kind of surprised me a little bit from just where I was and from what I was getting on camera when I was checking it that morning. But anyway, so I have one in that location, and already it's proven to show a lot of doe sign, some young bucks in velvet already. So on that camera, so it kind of confirms that it's a different terrain feature. It's kind of a nice little bench. It's a little bigger bench, and just the trees are a little bit different. You have a little bit more edge and a cover when it comes to the rest of the layout in certain spots on that side of the mountain. So I really like that location, little couple pinch points, a little cluster of rubs that I found during the season and postseason as well. So that camera is in that location. A couple ridges above me is where I put another one. And that's kind of like where Jim and Josh really kind of honed in on a little bit during archery season, a shit ton of sign. I walked it during rifle and kind of verified that as well, just because of following like the map outline that Jim shared with me of like a walking trail that he did, and just a ton of rubs, all going back to this one location. And this one has been probably the most so far deer activity that we're getting on camera, which is kind of cool to see. So that location is awesome. And then, you know, kind of going off of what Tim said years ago, 5 years ago, when Tim and I started chatting and hanging out and doing everything, he talked about how he really, when it came to trail camera intel, really liked trails and just like where deer are traveling. And I really grew into liking that a lot, other than like, say, scrapes, just because of I like seeing like the direction, especially when you're able to see what wind direction everything is, and kind of just basic stuff, like nothing earth shattering, but just it helps me with my brain understand things a little bit better, a little bit easier. So that's what that camera is kind of in spot location. And then we do have like an old logging road on one, and that had like kind of like a scrape after scrape after scrape. So I put one there and you could kind of see that whole logging road. And I love that one a spot because I'm excited to maybe hunt that aspect. During rifle season, there's a one little kind of point that you could see pretty good. And then just judging from what we saw this past year during rifle season, I think that would be a really good spot. And not too far past that is where I went opening day of archery season there this past season. And I was just off, I think, some good action potentially by maybe 90 yards, less than 100 yards easily. So that was a cool little spot. And that led me to like an intersection that I threw another camera. So we're talking three different cameras at this point. I'll backtrack. There's one that I just threw in a new set of batteries, and I actually deployed a solar panel on it. And it was like very bottom, very close to camp. It's more of a security check things out, but also insane amount of deer travel on camera. And there was a scrape there, and that was one of the bigger, nicer bucks that we got on camera, not from last year, which is kind of cool. So that's the fourth camera. So I'm sorry, that is the fifth camera, because I talked about mine, the one that I threw out closer to my area, Jim's, the scrape road, and then that intersection one, which just, it's just a really good travel corridor. There is a pinch point, and that is again kind of near where I hunted last year on that opening day, and then that security one kind of closer to camp. And then I threw another one at the very top, kind of same thing, had that same idea with as far as security goes, as well as seeing deer travel, deer movement. And that one was a really good one from last year, and just kind of threw that camera there as well. So again, there's a whole other side of the mountain that we definitely want to get more eyes on. That other side is really neat, different, totally different kind of atmosphere, I guess you could kind of say, and what that side has to offer. Tim was successful there last year during rifle season. So talking what, six cameras in total. And so far we've got a pretty good amount of deer on them and good young bucks, got some good, big, large doe groups, got some young fawns. So all in all, it so far it is a success, and it's just nice to see. And it was cool getting up there, number one, and seeing more, getting my feet wet more going up there when it's not hunting season and when I have to make a decision, basically. So, I mean, thinking back, there was only one or two, maybe one sit where I got skunked up there, which was kind of cool. I was always in something or saw a deer, whether it was a deer I wanted to shoot or not, that's different. But I mean, I was in on deer, which is kind of cool. So that was like the camera deployment itself. And as far as the future goes with this, like I said, there's a ton more that we want to do with it. Potentially maybe do some water holes, maybe do a little food plot, get some more cameras down on that backside, things like that. But man, it's tough. we have all these ideas and ambitions, and Josh is doing such a freaking hell of a job cleaning up camp, the inside. We had that issue with pipe breaking and needing some refreshments as far as like flooring and drywall, stuff like that. And he's absolutely freaking crushing that, and can't thank him enough for doing that. But yeah, so many cool things that we have and just years to come, and so excited, you know, especially seeing some of those younger bucks. You know, it's like a twofold of excitement, because number one, up and comers, no doubt, but then also like great deer for some of the younger kids that we have, that we take up there. And as far as like Josh's and Bryce and his boys and, you know, just obviously with Nora coming to age and Jim's son coming to age, it's just, they're getting there. So it's so cool to see that the potential that, this has to offer. So yeah, that was the recent camp visit with trail cameras and the future of that with what holds for that. And then like right now I'm doing a lot of, I switched everything over. I mean, I was gung ho about doing the whole, competitive 3D thing this past year and shit just did not work out. And, man, sucks that I didn't, but hey, that's life and that's okay. And the real fun things and my passion and drive and, you know, outside of being a better husband and father and along those lines is obviously hunting stuff. So that's coming up. So I switched gears already. I have the Elite Artist rocking and rolling. It's what I used for TAC this past year and already got it re-sighted in with my hunting arrow. I'm not changing anything up this year, as far as that goes. I'm still running everything the way it was at the end of hunting season, and that is the Trek Pro 2V. I like that double single pin. I'm running just the basic Elite stabilizer bars. I got, what else? I'm looking at that right now. I got the Vapor Trail on there and the arrows. I'm running the Ultra 0.166 arrows and running them basic. I bought the ones that are already pre-fletched. Just, you know, not really doing anything fancy. And if you're listening to the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, the Antler Up sessions that Dan and I are doing, I brought up this past week where Jim and I and Josh have been shooting these Amazon lighted knocks and they're fantastic. And right now, as I'm looking on the floor, there is still a little bit of light going on that friggin' knock. And that is almost going on 3 weeks, which is friggin' bizarre. Busted it from shooting in the backyard. So threw that on the ground. I just wanted to see how long it would last lit up like that. So we're going on 3 weeks. So lighted knock, I run their stock collar sleeve. Again, for hunting, I'm totally fine with that, using those. It's not, you know, I had a crazy shot on that Ohio buck this past year and it did its job and then some. So watch that buck fall in front of me. So I'm not changing anything up. I'm not doing anything drastic as far as the arrow goes. I'm going to run either the Slick Tricks. Which ones? Let me pull that up before. So that way I'm just having a brain fart right now. Slick Trick. Let's see. So either the Slick Trick mechanical. Oh, torch. Yeah, the torch. So it's kind of like Sever, just doesn't pivot. I'm going to either have that in there and run the Grim Reaper's mini mags. Those two, especially the mini mags, that's my try and true the last couple of years. I definitely want to get something with this torch. And then, I mean, that's as simple and basic as everything goes. But getting back into the groove of that actual whole setup, practicing shooting from the saddle, those things are, you know, huge this time of year. And again, the beauty about saddle hunting practice is you could be one stick high, you could just be, you know, up waist high, throw out a bunch of different targets and go around 3-4 times, like do three to four sets just like you would for working out, which we'll get to here shortly. But that is exactly how I do things. And there's 100 million other ways to do it. But what I like doing that is different angles. I'll toss the targets in different angles as well. Maybe quartering away, more broadside. I'm not shooting a frontal, but like quartering two, stuff like that, where I'm just seeing. And then obviously as I'm working my way around the tree, that those different shots present different opportunities. So it's kind of neat. So if you shoot from the saddle or a tree stand, whatever it is, you know, give yourself some practice, man. Like now's the time. You get a cool evening, cool morning, go shoot for 20, 30 minutes, set that up, get it done. Also, self-filming gear is the next topic. And what I'm doing for that. Well, I misplaced the camera when I went up to camp. So it is either on the dining room table or it is somewhere along the trail, which pisses me off a lot. And that was my DJI Osmo Action 4 camera, which is hell of a lot better than my Insta360 camera. 360 camera is a great camera for doing like a one shop all, like gets all those different angles. But man, I friggin' hate editing in that software. I think the quality of them are okay. I think they're pretty good, but they're not fantastic. But those DJIs, I say it like that because I stumble over it all the time. Those cameras take phenomenal footage, great audio, great footage, good color grading, all that stuff. A million times better than GoPro, in my opinion. And again, I think they're a hell of a lot better than these Insta360 cameras. Now, again, the Insta360 offers that 360. So in different positions, all that type of stuff, you have the opportunity to still at least maybe get that shot. The clarity of them just may not be the best. Okay. So my setup for that is still going to be running the AX43 Sony camcorder. And then I'll have, I did end up getting a painted arrow little mount for my Elite Artist. And I tried it with the DJI camera, my Osmo 4, before I lost it here this past week and or whatever it was. And obviously with it being a action camera, when at the shot, it does not rattle. So it's smooth, it's butter. Unlike a cell phone, when I've seen those shown on there, like it, to me, it's worthless because it does rattle a lot. That's just my opinion. So I'll run the, hopefully I find that camera. If not, I'll just be using that Insta360 camera, but I think I kind of have an idea where it could potentially be. I'm running the AX43 as the main camera and then the Insta360. Hopefully I could find that DJI one and put it back on the bow actually. And then my Sony A7IV is going to be my picture taker, B-roll, all that jazz when I have the opportunity to do that. And I just kind of leave it in the pack and grab it when I can, when things are very slow or whatever it be. So that's how I use that camera. It's kind of a pain in the ass, not going to lie, carrying all that gear. That's why sometimes I don't. All right. All right. More new additions, stuff that I'm excited for and excited to test a little bit more of. So I'm really pumped to get my hands on a tethered carnivore saddle. Been running that UltraLock for the last 2 years, loved it. Still doing a rappel system, still plan on doing that as well. But there's things about it that, like, you know, I want to be, how can I be more of a minimalist this year? Just a little bit, just a touch. Does that mean I love the rappel? It's just my thing. I really have grown fond of that the last 2 years. And I just think it's a lot easier being 5 foot, you know, six and a half, whatever. And using that to get up and using those aiders, just coming down, it's just so much easier. And I find it very easy to do, and quick and efficient. So yeah, I'm pumped about that carnivore saddle. So hopefully I'll get my hands on one here in the next couple of weeks. And then getting that fast frame. So I used it a little bit. I had one late season that I took on a hunt, but I had to send it to a buddy of mine from Tether just to, so he had his turn at it, just work on it, get some content with it, all that stuff. So it blew my expectations away. And so I'm hoping to get my hands on one so I could utilize it again. I know like Parker McDonald just actually had a post about it and like how he utilized it a little bit and just, you know, kind of had that same feeling. Like when I was running it, obviously I did not pack anything out, but like running it set up with the fast pack itself, how I had it utilized. It was comfortable. It could definitely haul out some meat easily. You know, Jared's already done it. Carl's already done it. I think Andy May's already, you know, done it. And obviously Parker done it with his post that he made. It is definitely an option. And what's awesome about it is if you have any backpack that has Molly, it could attach to it. Obviously it's has the fast frame, you know, to it, but I believe you could use the literally any other backpack with it if you're able to attach it to it. So you have that capability of hauling out some meat, which this point, that's my route. That's my go-to, unless I'm very close, like I was this past year with the rifle with the doe here in PA. So those two additions, I'm really pumped to get my hands on. The one piece that I did get my hands on, which a lot of you did as well, which is the saber saw. Holy shit, that thing is really cool. So simple. It's a saw. I know a lot of people will say it's not a new design, which we know, but they made it better. Okay. And that Japanese blade on it thing is slick. There was an older tree, which I think enough weight, I could obviously have kicked this thing over, but as I was cutting a limb to prep a tree where I was going to go, where I plan to hunt this upcoming fall, it got caught on like an older little tree, and I pulled, and when I pulled, the whole tree just went timber, which was kind of cool to see. And the blade and the saber saw stayed still intact on the tree limb that I cut to use to get up to higher little branches a little bit. So that was really cool to see. I love the thing. It's very light. It's quiet, easy to use. There's been times, like obviously on private land when I've been hunting, where it's like, man, I just need that little bit of reach, and you cut one limb and you just can't reach the other one. Now that limb that you just cut, you could utilize it to get out a little bit further if you need it and still have the cover that you need. So it's a really cool little thing. I think worth every penny. So check that out when they do get those back in stock. If you do hunt private land or hunt anywhere that you're able to trim some trees, get yourself one. That sucker is awesome. Make easy, quick work on sawing anything. All right. next segment I want to talk to you about is going to be my fitness, current fitness routine, all that jazz, because we just passed the 4th of July. And right now, things are going to be just like the hunting bow situation. Things are going to start changing and adapting a little bit. Going to continuously do my progressive overload with everything that I'm trying to do. But now I'm including, I was only doing a lot of like moderate intensity kind of cardio sessions after working out, or like later on in the day, given the baby and all that type of stuff, if we're going for a walk with her. So things are going to change just a little bit. And basically, obviously, with my time as a, you know, teacher in the summer, I'm off. I don't do a summer job anywhere. So with that, I'm going to continue to wake up about 5:15, 5:30, what I've been doing, and I'm going to do a little fasted cardio. And with that, my plan is to alternate those daily. So my plan is like one day I'm going to do like a moderate intensity, hit a time, whatever I burn as far as caloric goes. And then when baby goes down for that first nap, which, let me knock on wood here, 1, 2, 3. She's been sleeping for about 2.5, 3 hours. That's when I'm going to actually do my little strength training. Excuse me. My allergies were killing me this past week. And then that next day I do want to do a little bit of a hit. So I'm going to do like a little 3 day, every other day, 3 day, first day, moderate, second day, a hit, which is going to be, a 15 to 20 minute session, probably going to go more of like 20 and just do various of exercise, a hit cardio session. So I'm going 20 on, 10 off. And I usually do a couple rounds of each thing. So like, usually those are like 4 minutes long. So I kind of do like 5 sessions of those, depending on what they are. So just so I could get that 20 minutes. So that'll be one day. And the next day I plan on doing like a ruck. So those mornings are going to be moderate, like low to moderate intensity, hit day, ruck, and then kind of start all over again. See how I feel. But strength training wise, I'm keeping things the same. The only thing that I'm incorporating is on lower days, I'm going to start doing more of box step ups, things like that. Kind of give myself more of like that cardio aspect to my little strength endurance for the legs, just for hunting season coming up. Not really going anywhere, obviously, but I just like being prepared when there's some weight, and I'll throw on the weighted vest for those to go along, or my pack even, and obviously hold some dumbbells. But as far as the split goes, and still doing kind of like a semi bro split, kind of training chest and tries together, got back and buys and legs and stuff like that. Not necessarily pure push pull days, but I guess you could kind of say that a little bit. So really liking the app and everything that I've been utilizing to see my progressive overload, because that's been the key that I've wasn't doing. And that keeps track of it, so I know where I should start, where I need to be, all that type of stuff. So yeah, you know, just plays so much into everything we're doing. Like I'm able to shoot my bow longer. I'm able to hike a little bit farther, just everything I do. And I'm like, does it help with killing deer? I mean, it helps in that regard. Does it help in actually, you know, shooting and finding a deer? No. But when you are in those situations, I think it does help. And I think too, mentally, it helps. You know, it was why I did the whole 3D archery thing last year. So yeah, that's where I think, you know, that plays a role. Recent, some PA hunting developments. I talked about that on that last solo from like 3 weeks ago, I think it was, or something along those lines. Sunday hunting, the legislature has passed a bill lifting the near total ban. So now it's just awaiting Governor Shapiro's signature. So we're almost there to join all those other states that allow Sunday hunting. So thank friggin' goodness that we're almost there, because again, with my job, that is crucial. That is just awesome. No, so pumped. Hunting licenses are on sale. You only have, I think, a couple more days to get your guaranteed antlerless unit that you want along those lines. So double check that. That's coming up. So that second round should be coming up here this month, and so on. I think there's a CWD meeting I saw get posted somewhere, an update where they plan on having a meeting. Let me look that up real quick, because I just saw that. Yeah, so that is actually coming on the 9th. So this is what? Today's the 6th, 7, 8, 9. What day is that? So yeah, the day this airs, today, tonight, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's that northeast region. So if you're up there in the northeast region at Honesdale High School Auditorium, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. tonight, this meeting will take place. Talk about the CWD update. It's open to the public and will include informational session on CWD, and there will be an opportunity to ask staff questions. It's a recent detection of CWD in that northeast region in Wayne County. So go get more information if that's something you're interested into. Yeah, other than that, like kind of closing remarks, man. I mean, we're every year, like we get to this time, we dial in our bows, you know, we're going out scouting and making sure our boots are friggin' broken in, all that stuff. We're prepping like trail cameras and you name it, our gear, we're obsessing over that. We're obsessing over e-scouting, scrape locations, wind directions, like looking at old photos of the, when did bucks come? I mean, this is shit I know I'm doing, and I'm sure a hell of a lot of you are doing it, and even more than I'm doing it. I guarantee you to that. You know, that preparation breeds success. But here's the deal, you know, like, we're putting in that kind of energy in the woods. We better fucking be putting that same energy in ourselves, man. You know, I think back to years ago, I was not in a good spot. I was not in a good spot mentally, physically. all that shit. And to be a better hunter starts with being a better person, a better man, better woman, whatever, whether that means like being a better dad, being a better husband, a better boyfriend, or just being the better version of your fucking self than you were yesterday. Look, life gets crazy, gets chaotic. We're all juggling shit, jobs, kids, time, stress, but growth doesn't come when it's convenient. It comes when you choose to show the fuck up. So show up even when you're tired. Show up when you're not perfect. Show up when no one's watching, whether it's one more rep in the gym, 5 more minutes of presence with your kid instead of scrolling on your phone, or just being the one who says, I got it. When you are needed by your family, you're going to win those small, small, quiet times. Don't let this shit slow you down, because life doesn't slow down, man. And growth isn't about finding time. It's about making shit happen. So if you've listened to this whole time, I challenge you, man, go pick something to do today that's going to make yourself 1% better. Whether it's training, putting your phone away at dinner, if it's getting outside to walk with your family by yourself, clear your mind, that 1% day in and day out, that's how you build a better version of yourself and not only thrive in the woods, but at home. And it's not about perfection, dude. It's not. It's about consistency, and it's about you're capable of more than what you think. Get after it. Antler up.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Antler Up podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please go check us out on our Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and at antlerupoutdoors.com. If you enjoyed this episode, go leave a review and subscribe for next week's episode. Until then, Antler up.
Hey, it's Sterling K. Brown from the Hulu original series Paradise. The next chapter begins as Xavier's search for his wife takes him above ground, and what he finds will change everything. It was never just about the bunker. Tune in and discover the truth lies outside. Paradise, the official podcast, is now streaming, and stream Paradise Season 2 on February 23rd on Hulu and Hulu on Disney+.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.